All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Welcome to episode 1128 of the Geek News Central podcast. It's Monday, July 11th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. And listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or just paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana. Back in the saddle after being out through the 4th of July week. I want to appreciate everyone's patience. I know some of you have been going way, way, way back in the archive. I know one of our listeners has went back to episode in the 70s. Now, that news is old, but maybe you just listened to the first 15 minutes. I don't know, but I'm back. Here's going to be some fresh tech news today. Lots to talk about, lots happening, lots going on. But first and foremost, I want to give a very, very warm welcome to the Ohana, all the longtime listeners and viewers of this show. Thank you so much for being here. Of course, if you're brand new to the show, really what we want you to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com and see if I can get this right. There we go. Go over to geeknewscentral.com and you'll find all the content on the website that our great writers put together. So there's lots of content to consume. And, of course, we want you to subscribe to the show. And you do that by, on the second column of the website, you can get hooked up via iTunes, on Android, via email, Google Play, on Stitcher, via RSS. Really, there's a half dozen ways there for you to get subscribed to the show. And we don't want you to ever not be subscribed because that way, you have a good opportunity of missing the show. So we don't want you to do that. But sign up for the newsletter as well while you're on the website. It's under the important links link. And the newsletter basically will have everything in it that I talk about during today's show. I will go through the stack and have all the URLs in that email. So definitely get subscribed to the newsletter as well. Of course, you can reach out to me very, very easily via email at Geek News. You can follow me on Twitter. geeknews@gmail.com, on email at geeknews on Twitter. And that's the two primaries to get me. Of course, you can reach out on Facebook and Google Plus. Lots of ways. Any places there's social. Today, we're streaming to the actual facebook.com/geeknews page. And there's a reason for that. And I'll talk about that here in a few minutes. Some small changes around here due to some stuff that we've introduced or that I basically have set up beyond the website, but I'll share in just a few minutes what that is. But you can watch the show on the Roku, on the Apple TV. You can listen on Amazon Echo. You can listen on Stitcher. You can listen on Blueberry.com. Of course, we want to thank our partner shows, and really the partner shows of what it's all about here at Geek News Central. You definitely get subscribed to the Gadget Professor Show, Health Tech Weekly with Jamie Davis. We've got No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff. We've got the New Media Show with Rob Greenlee and I. And, of course, we've got the ProGear.Guru site where you can get connected and learn about audio and video offerings. All right? So, but Geek News Central is the main place for you to get connected and stay connected with the show here. I'm running a little dehydrated this evening. Don't know why. So I'll keep that close. Longest running continued sponsor of a podcast officially now. GoDaddy has been a sponsor of this show since July of 2005. So I guess that officially makes 11 years straight as a sponsor, which is crazy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show. And And I have to just go out and thank all of you. We did get the June numbers in, and you have absolutely overwhelmed me. I am so grateful of your support of this sponsor. And GoDaddy's been a great partner with for us for many, many years. And wow, blew my socks off on July totals. So just, I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you. Matter of fact, the month was so good that GoDaddy went and did some double checking to make sure that my codes didn't get spread out and used inappropriately, and they hadn't been. So it's on like Donkey Kong. So thank you so much. In July, we're off to a great start as well. Get over GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And really on that page, you're going to find discounts, whether it be 30% off on a new product purchase, whether it be getit.com for 99 cents, whether it pick one of those three hosting options, whether it be a website builder, economy hosting, or a managed WordPress site, offer $1 a month for the first 12 months with a free domain. All those codes are on the website. All you got to do is go over there again to geekniscentral.com/GoDaddy. Click on the link on the spreadsheet, and I'll take you to the GoDaddy site and lock in that price. And again, for all of you that picked up a product or service last month, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Definitely appreciate it. Wow, that's all I can say. And two thumbs up to this audience. And really, thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, let's just kind of get caught up just a little bit about what's been happening. And then we'll get into the show pretty quick tonight. I flew out of here, what date was it? I guess Friday, the 1st of July. Got into Chicago early on the 2nd. Showed up to Hertz to get my car, and my name wasn't on the board, and spent a lot longer at Hertz than I expected. It wasn't a grab my car and go moment, so they set me behind about an hour, and I wasn't, at that time in the morning, at 5:30 a.m., I was pissy, to say the least. But I was able to get on the road, got out of Chicago, got on the toll road, made pretty good time, got into Michigan, and the first stop, my sister texts me, and she says, meet us at Shelton's. And for those of you that live in the Midwest, maybe you know about Shelton's. Shelton's is a fireworks company, and they have an amazing, I've never been into this place before. They said, we'll meet you at 10. And of course, my sister and my brother-in-law and the kids, they all grabbed shopping carts. And we set budgets. There was another family there. But when we rolled out of there, we had bought so many fireworks that the store gave us like 5 or 6 bonus finale products. And that was the most fireworks I've ever seen in two vehicles. And we started shooting fireworks on the 2nd. We shot fireworks on the 3rd. And we shot fireworks on the 4th of July. It was, oh my goodness, crazy. Mortars, you name it, the whole thing. I had a great time. And the kids had a rip-roaring time, which was good too. Neighbors did. The families that were over. So it was totally awesome. So wrap that up, and then I had to get prepared for Podcast Movement. So Monday, or was it, Monday was the 4th. And then Tuesday, I rolled out of Michigan, heading back to Chicago. Got into Chicago about 1 o'clock. Just met up with my team. We just kind of did some planning and took it easy. And then the morning of the 6th, we started off with a workshop. We had about 20 people in a Raw Voice Blueberry workshop for about 3 hours. And then at noon on the 6th, I went right into a IAB, audio committee meeting. That lasted 3 hours. Came out of that. Just one sequence after another, dinner, award ceremony. It was just on and on and on. 7th and 8th were the conference. So very, very busy. My mom brought Chris to me on Sunday about noon. Of course, he had been in Michigan the entire month of June, and then, of course, right into that early July. And then I put him in the hotel room and said, okay, see you in about 3 hours. And then basically him and I flew home on Saturday. So we've been back just a little over a day and a half, or 2 days, I guess, now. So that kind of catches up what's going on. But we made some major announcements. Facebook Instant Articles has been approved. So what I want you guys to do, this is something new. On your mobile device, now on your mobile, you're going to go over to facebook.com/geeknews. And that's where a lot of the news for the site is going to be replicated here, especially show information. So if you're on Facebook and want to get caught up, what's going to happen now is that you're going to get to experience a new way to enjoy Geek News Central on Facebook with Facebook Instant Articles. And it only works on the actual page at facebook.com/geeknews on a mobile device. That would be a iPhone, Android, not an iPad. When you click the links, you'd come back to Geek News Central on those type of devices and the desktop. But on a small mobile device, Instant Articles basically loads the articles along with the player much quicker than what you would see otherwise. So just give it a try. People at Podcast Movement fell in love with it. We're doing some experiments tonight after the show to see how long it takes Facebook to pick up the article, how long it takes it to turn it into an instant article. We think it would be pretty fast, but only time will tell once the once we watch and see what happens tonight after I publish the show. So that's going on. Of course, PowerPress Sites is off to a raging start over at Blueberry. And so we're really excited about what happened. Met with a lot of great people at the show. So it turned into a really nice event. Very, very happy with the turnout. And, of course, we will find out how many new customers we gain from the event itself. So let me go ahead here and get into the tech. Tonight, the folks at NASA are very, very happy as the Mars rover Curiosity is back online after being sidelined by its fourth glitch. And basically, the rover put itself into a safety mode just recently. And they were able to recover, and Curiosity is back up and doing what it's supposed to do and running fine. So I'm, they were able to recover, be able to continue with science with the device. But when these spacecraft go into safe mode, and even though this happened just a few days before the 4th of July, you know, they go into panic because they have to go through a whole set of processes to essentially reboot the machine, reboot the rover, and get it back online and talking home to mom and so forth. But they were able to, just a week later, or actually a week and 2 days, get the Curiosity back up and running and able to essentially get back to science. So good news on that part. Well, at the same time, here in Hawaii, a telescope has spotted a new dwarf planet beyond Neptune. And this is kind of interesting. Just beyond Neptune lies a ring of small icy worlds that offer insight into the formation of our solar system. And scientists using the Canada-France-Hawaii telescope on Mauna Kea discovered, again, this new dwarf planet in the region that rivals Pluto and Eris in visibility. It's called RR245. In this case, cites Manners. Many of the worlds in the farthest reaches of the solar system are too small and dull for Earth-bound scientists to study. And basically, when it comes to post-Neptune dwarf planets, the bigger and brighter, the better. So they're very, very excited about this. This dwarf planet has a remarkably large orbit. It's at least twice as far from the sun as Neptune is, and it's more than 120 times farther than Earth's orbit, while RR245 is more visible than other worlds beyond Neptune. Exact size is unknown. So its exact path around the sun is still a little bit up in the air. But it takes 700 years for RR245 to complete its orbit. So, and they've only been monitoring it for about a year. So that gives you a little indication here how far out this bad boy is. So 700 years to make one revolution around the sun with this new dwarf planet. All right, little tech news here before I get into the topic of the day. Mega Upload is promising a relaunch with original database on January 1st of 2017. He's made some promises in the past, but he's saying, Kim.com is saying that he's coming back to life. And the date is significant. It's 5 years, 5 years after the raid on and the original shutdown of Mega Upload. So I don't know how he was able to retain the database, original user database, but apparently he does have some of that. But that's the promise that they're going to go live with that thing in 2017. Probably need some cash. Probably that's what's going on. Well, on July 5th, some really crazy news happened. The U.S. Ninth Court of Appeals issued an opinion, and this is bad. This is very, very bad for all of us, and it's actually, this particular ruling is not getting a lot of positive headlines. So starting now, sharing your Netflix password, yes, just sharing the password, voluntarily sharing the password, is now a federal crime. And if you do so, oh, that's a nice commercial. And let me turn the speaker down, so if that happens again, we won't hear it. So the U.S. Ninth Court of Appeals issued an opinion which found in part sharing passwords is essentially illegal. And it's a crime prosecutable under the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, CFAA. The decision, according to a dissenting opinion on the case, makes millions of people who share passwords like Netflix and HBO Go unwitting federal criminals. The decision came in the case of David Nocell, an employee of an executive search or headhunter firm called Korn/Ferry International. Nozzle left the firm in 2004 after being denied a promotion. Though he stayed on for a year as a contractor, he was simultaneously preparing to launch a competing search firm along with several co-conspirators, though all of their computer access was revoked at Korn Ferry. They continue access the Korn Ferry candidate database known as Searcher using the login credentials that was given to him by Nozzle's former assistant, who is still with the firm. So he was sentenced to 5 years prison time and nearly $900,000 in restitution and fees. But basically, his conviction under CFAA hinged on a clause that criminalizes anyone who knowingly and with intent to defraud access a protected computer without authorization. Though the CFAA is often understood to be an anti-hacking law, that clause is particularly has been applied by the courts in this instance, what makes it now completely illegal to share a service that you pay for that you are not supposed to share that password with another party. It actually makes it a federal crime. Sheer insanity, my friends. Absolute insanity. So if I give my friend access to my Netflix account, I could, if Netflix wanted to prosecute, which they won't, would make me, could give me a federal charge. So we'll see where this goes. But who's going to be the naughty company to employ some legal action against its users first? Only time will tell. Okay, so you guys know that I've been playing Ingress for quite a while. And I just periodically played. I don't play as heavy as I used to. Well, the company Niantic that is behind Ingress has launched a new game that has took the absolute country and the countries it has launched in by storm. Pokemon Go, which all of my sister's kids and brother-in-law and her are playing, which my two boys here are playing, which my daughter is playing, that everyone in the country has absolutely went nuts in trying to catch Pikachu. I haven't played it yet, but people have gone absolutely bat stir crazy over this particular game. And it's went about as viral as it can go, because literally today there was as much news about this game as there was like a big Apple announcement. I mean, it was everywhere. Every major news department, I mean, you name it, everyone was talking about this thing. So I know you're all playing already. The majority of you have to be, based upon the numbers this thing has pulled in. It's like in like the top five apps, installed apps right now on both Android and iOS. So it's went huge. So there's five things you need to do if you're going to play Pokemon Go. You're going to try to catch a Pikachu, and I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Map out your local Pokestops. Now here's the key. You can load Ingress and it'll show you where all the portals are. And the portals are the same locations as the gyms. Okay, I don't know very much about it, but the gyms are in the same places as the Ingress portals. Okay. And you can map out your local Pokestops. And ingress.com/intel is a place where you can find all of the Pokestops. Okay. One thing you have to learn how to do in the game is throw curveballs. You got to find some local players to team up with. And I think there's like three teams that you can choose from. Choose wisely. And you need to level up. So you have to basically do a bunch of tasks to level up. And that is one of the big things in Ingress too. So this thing is off to a huge running start. So I'm just going to cover some of the news that's been going on. Those zealots that and those very nasty church people over at Westboro Baptist Church. These are the folks that protest servicemen's funerals and a variety of, they're not very nice people. But they've been trolled because their church was a gym in the game. And so there's been some interesting things that have been done with that particular portal. And of course, they responded with a press release. And anyway, so I'll have that link up in the show notes. But of course, there's the history behind Pokemon Go, and talks about Niantic CEO John Hankey, who is behind both games, Ingress and Pokemon Go. Of course, in partnership with Pokemon. There's and it does have the game has a lot of similarity to Ingress in some of the things you do, but at the same time, it's a little bit different. People have gotten so crazy here already, and these are things people were doing in Ingress, is that they're learning how to cheat. And here's what I'm going to warn you that are playing this game. They have gotten very good. Because of the level of cheating that was going on in Ingress, where people were faking GPS locations and a variety of things, if you're doing that to play Pokemon Go, your account will get suspended. So don't be spoofing the GPS location of your phone, a variety of different things. But one guy, he flew his drone around his community and somehow remote accessed his mobile device and was able to play via his laptop. So this guy got hardcore, and he went flying over areas in order to play instead of walking around. So I'm thinking, so okay, you really can't go that far, dude. But he was using it to go play the game. Which, I just like, really? You're going to go fly the drone and play Pokemon Go. The epitome of laziness. So get out there and play. Don't sit at your computer and try to work the system. But this is what people do in these types of games where you're actually required to get up and exercise a little bit. So anyway, we'll keep you advised on this. But that is what's happening now. There was a fake video or basically that an Uber driver was live streaming Pokemon Go this weekend when he said that he saw someone push a dead body out of a car. Turns out it was fake, and the driver has reportedly been fired from Uber. And again, a member of the local police believes it was a hoax, and it gets weirder from there. So a small-time YouTuber was streaming the game in Beaumont, Texas, and he went from 4,000 followers to 92,000. So I don't know if this is a little fake, someone got killed type of a, why he would do this, I don't know. But he got 92,000 followers out of it and got fired from Uber for apparently not following company policy and playing the game between rides, which appears Uber does not allow. But anyway, that someone dying because of Pokemon Go or someone seeing something happen has not actually happened. But one thing that did happen is a U.S. military person took a break fighting ISIS and to catch a Pokemon called Squirtle. And this guy says, just caught my first Pokemon on the Mosul front line by Telescope Dash. Come challenge me to a Pokemon battle. Mortars are for, and I can't say what he says, beep. But apparently this guy is in the field and playing Pokemon Go while deployed. So don't know if it's true, but it's what's on the verge. The Pokemon is insanity. There is safety concerns. Same thing with ingress. Please don't walk into a street and get hit by a car. Watch where you're walking. This ingress is a game, and Pokemon Go is a game where you're going to be looking at your phone a lot and be aware of your surroundings. People are getting robbed. There are people that are going to Pokemon portal areas or whatever, like gyms that they call them, where there's concentrations of them, and in remote areas and robbing people. So ingress has a lot of portals that are oftentimes in places where I'm like, nope, I'm not getting out of the car. I'm not walking over there. Not a smart thing to do. So just be aware that there's some of this activity going on. Also, a lot of these, again, all these portals have been set up originally with ingress, and the gyms are now replicating those areas. Some of those portals are very inaccessible in places where they might even be closed, might be dangerous. So just be careful. It's, you know, it's like a scavenger hunt, but don't go and try to capture something in an area where you're going to get hurt. And the police, when ingress started, to be honest with you, there was issues just like this. The police would roll up, they look at you, what you're doing. You said, I'm playing ingress, and they looked at you weird. But then after a while, the word got out, and they kind of got used to people being in certain areas, because oftentimes there is concentration of gyms and portals in around parks. So, you know, something you got to be careful of, a homeless situation. It just all kinds of stuff you need to be careful for playing in the dark. A lot of people play in the dark because it's too hot to play in the day and you can't see your phone real well. So just be careful. At the same time, some guy had access to the beta, and he made an app that allowed people to chat in the game. Now, Ingress has this built in. You can talk to your faction. You can talk to people on the other side. But Pokemon Go did not have a chat app. So the chat app that this guy built became so popular so fast, over a million people installed his Pokemon Go app or his chat app, that it's burning server costs. It's, you know, he's having to spend a lot of money to support the traffic that's going in and out of this thing. So what's really, and he didn't monetize it, didn't put no advertising in it like a knucklehead. So he's trying to figure out now to keep this thing online, and he's reached out to get some help, but a million users in 5 days for the app. So, yeah, he's got his hands full. And so if you're using the app, you may want to throw this guy a few bones. because it may not be around for a long time just because of the cost. At the same time, this is what we also see in Ingress. There's basically brokers that, you know, basically level up accounts. So people don't have to go out and spend the 3 or 4 weeks it takes to go from level one to what is the, you know, kind of the first real big tier you get to called level eight in Ingress. So people are selling those accounts between $60 and $80 each. Someone in Craigslist is selling a level 20 Pokemon Go account for $100. There's going to be a lot of this. There'll be businesses that will appear just to provide people leveled up accounts. And I don't know if they're going to be selling gear. That's what they do in Ingress. People can just actually buy, because in Ingress, you have to go out and farm, you have to collect weapons and so forth. And people, and those can be traded. So that has opened up this huge aftermarket of people that, and it's mostly like Ukrainians and that kind of stuff that are running, again, fake accounts using GPS spoofing to collect gear to sell to people who are too lazy to walk around. So someone on Craigslist, again, is selling a level 20 Pokemon Go account for $100. Part of the fun of the game is leveling up. So make sure you do that, okay? Just level up. There's a little worry about the iOS app right now having some security issues. Niantic's aware of it. They're making some changes. So just be aware that the iOS app currently has access to more of your Google information than it should. Probably a patch will be out very, very quickly because it has gotten so much awareness. Now, just like Ingress, now there's the conspiracy theorists think that Pokemon Go is a government surveillance app to track where we're going and so forth. That was the rumor with Ingress too, so that hasn't changed. And also, probably on a good note, the Pokemon Go success has added $7.5 billion to Nintendo's market value. The question is, can they keep players interested over a long time? There's a lot of us playing Ingress. It's been a couple of years. It looks like Pokemon Go may be a little bit more interactive. I don't know. But they had a 9.3% of the... they had a stock increase of 9.3%, which is huge. I don't know if they expected to have a stock increase just because of this game. I don't know what monetization methods are in the actual game or the market or the rev share they have with Niantic or not. Niantic has just recently in the Ingress game started selling some aftermarket stuff. It's not too much, though. You can't spend a lot in the game. I think the most you can spend is about $20 or $30, and it's really the effective amount that you could spend there. So anyway, big time increase for Nintendo. Okay, let's talk a little bit. Let's get out of the Pokemon Go stuff and switch to talking about Bitcoin a little bit. So folks that have been mining Bitcoins get paid on a reward system. The digital currency system, by design, by on schedule, has cut the mining reward in half as of July 9th. Where there were previously 25 bitcoins, roughly $16,000 to be mined every 10 minutes, now you have to fight over 12.5. So the measure automatically kicks in every 4 years as part of an attempt to curb inflation that would come from both a growing number of miners and ever faster computers. So reducing the rewards could have some serious consequences for dedicated miners, as those folks have to work twice as hard to get the same money. Companies with not so efficient operations may have no choice but to restructure or even close up shop. KNC Miner, for instance, declared bankruptcy in May after warning about the impending profit loss. Those miners most likely to survive are the ones that keep costs to a minimum through low power computers and minimal staff. So basically, the output level the number of bitcoins coming into the market again is being half from 25 bitcoins every 10 minutes to now 12.5. So a little harder to get your piece of the action and make money. The coders out there have got to be excited about this. You know, when we talk about code from many, many years ago, most people don't even care. But the source code for Apollo 11's guidance computer has been made available for a while. Google hosted it several years, for instance, but most people would not know how to find it or even search for it. As of this week, it almost is ridiculous ease. NASA intern Chris Gary has posted the entire Apollo guidance computer source code on GitHub, giving you a good peek at the software that NASA took to the moon. As a Reddit user points out, it's clear the developers had a mighty sense of humor. Line 666 of the lunar landing turns up a numero mysterio, and there's even a reference to the radio DJ Magnificent Montauk classic Burn Baby Burn. So anyway, you can, the fun part, Quartz notes that the posting on GitHub allows suggestions for changes. So programmers are making their share of space-themed jokes, including mentions of Apollo 13's bugs. The guidance code still isn't immediately useful if you're building unless you're building a 1960s space program, but it is going to introduce folks to the software. I think this is pretty cool. So at least you can look at the history. All right. I got a bad case of dry mouth today. I'm going to run out of H2O before the show is over. Hey, if you work at IBM, well, they've scrapped loyal staffer gifts in favor of a congratulatory social page. So no more Mont Blanc pens for longtime staffers. So the powers that be at IBM have thrust forward an exceptionally mean redesign of the company's employee reward scheme. Gifts are to be scrapped for a social congratulatory page. Big Blue Insiders told us the firm would now honor 3, 5, 10, and 50 years of service in a new and special way, through the chance of anyone working for 5 decades. IBM seems pretty crazy at this point. But details of the updated reward scheme introduced on July 1st were posted on the company internet. to celebrate server milestones, we've created a social congratulatory page. And since it's about personalized and social experiences, you, other colleagues, friends, and family will play a big role in sharing congratulations. IBMers celebrating 25th anniversary, known as quarter century clubs, as well as 40th, 45th, and 5th anniversaries and retirements will be honored with a celebratory event. They're actually buy them dinner. Everyone else gets stuff announced on the social page. So IBMers don't have a burden of carrying a gift home. They will just get this, you know, congratulations on the web page. What did I get for 24 years in the Navy? Some pretty cool things. I got a shadow box, a plaque, you know, some cool stuff like that. I didn't get anything at any intervals. I guess the Navy every 4 years gave me a good conduct medal, and in lieu of first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth award, being a good boy, not getting in trouble, I got you get another increment of a good conduct. I think that's what I got. I don't know. What do your companies do at anniversaries 5, 10, 15, 20? What are the companies you're working for? What do they do? What do they give you? Anything? There's an iPhone 7, another leak. Talking about a bigger camera. And let me bring this up for those of you that are watching. And the camera does look massively bigger. So if this is really the new iPhone 7, then they've got something special in mind for us when they update that. So I don't know. This could be a fake picture too. Photoshop is pretty good these days. All right, Samsung's 4 terabyte SSD is built to replace your hard drive. I'm a big fan of the Samsung 850 EVOs. They're great drives. This one, though, is going to set you back a whopping $1,500. But one thing I want to talk to you guys just a little bit about SSDs. I've had great luck with solid-state drives and basically not failing, lasting a lot longer than spinners ever would. So even though this seems like a lot, you know, $1,500 for a 4 terabyte drive, it technically could go from machine to machine to machine to machine. So, you know, it might be a great buy, you know, something that would last a long, long, long time. But I think what it's going to take is if they could get that thing down to about $1,000, it would make me really think about jumping the gun and buying one of these. The speed increase alone, just you know, the read-write speed of this thing is amazing. So that's something to think about. But the 4 terabyte drive again from the Samsung, it's an 850 series, 1500 shimoles. There's a company called Berlin, Berlin.de, and they've just raised $49 million. And they're an eyewear maker. And they're not currently in the United States. But this company is largely in Europe, and it's a new way to buy glasses. Now, being one that wears glasses, and I know how much my glasses cost me typically every year, it gets a little frustrating. But still, buying glasses online is not the same as going and trying a pair on. I'm pretty picky, and I think most of us are, that we want to see how they look on our face. So they're starting to partner up with optometrists, and we'll have a variety of samples of their glasses in their stores. You can try them on to fit them, to get an idea on size and so forth. But their goal is to disrupt how glasses are made and sold. So pretty exciting stuff here. And they're not in the U.S. yet. I don't know if they're going to expand. But those of you then in Europe definitely want to check out Germany's Brillen, Brillen.de is the company for their eyewear marketplace. And see if your optometrist carries them. In the U.K., there's a, you know, the big politics thing going on there, as well as here, of course, in the United States. But there's potentially going to be a new prime minister voted on or announced in the next couple of days. And this is very exciting. There's her name is Teresa. And there is another Teresa May. So there's two of these ladies. And so what's happening is that the very respected Teresa with an H versus the Teresa with an E, one is a very conservative politician. The other one is a very liberal British woman who has something that she calls the punishment party. she works in the adult business, and her video is not safe for work. Just be very, 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 very aware. She has a music video. It's called "Smack My Beep Beep," and so anyway, they've been getting the real T.E. Teresa May confused with the potential new prime minister, Theresa May. So I'm sure Brits are going to have a lot of fun with this one, the T.E. being the young lady that is working in the adult space, where or a glamour dancer. That's maybe a better way to describe her. But yes, that'll get all of you looking at both those Twitter accounts. All right, I've said this for years, and it is advice my grandmother gave me, and it holds true, and I firmly believe this. My grandmother used to say, a kid has to eat 5 pounds of dirt by the time they're 5 years old, or they won't be right. Now, what she meant by that was that kids that are out playing, that are dirty, that are experiencing elements, typically don't end up with a bunch of allergy issues. I know that my mom let me run, get scrubby, and I don't have, I have a little bit of allergy problems to a volcanic bog, but that's just about it from a an allergy standpoint. But what they're finding out is kids who bite their nails and suck their thumbs develop fewer allergies. Well, if you think about it, hands are dirty, right? Very, very dirty hands. And kids who stick their hands in their mouth or suck their thumb are basically building up resistance to those types of things hands are exposed to. But this research published in the Journal of Pediatrics showed that children with these habits are less likely to develop allergies to house dust, mites, grass, cats, dogs, and airborne fungi. It's further evidence in support of the so-called hygiene hypothesis, which suggests that children's child exposure to microbial organisms and other nasties alter the immune function, resulting in a decreased risk of developing allergies. Now, of course, they came back and said, well, we don't recommend these habits should be encouraged. There does appear to be a positive side. So, you know, moms and even dads, kids get dirty. And unless it's totally gross, let them be dirty a little bit. All right? Please, this is, I really think this too much of this. In my house, we have essentially outlawed the antibacterial soap or the gel. We take it in the car. That's about the only time we have. If we go to a restaurant, maybe once in a blue moon, we'll use it. But if there's water and actual soap available, you know, that's what my kids wash their hands with. Not this microbiological pump stuff. I don't even allow it to be in the bathroom. It's not allowed. Yeah, there's like the little ones in the car. That's it. And limited use. Now, I see a need for it like at conventions, and I mean, I'm shaking 100 hands. That's the time that, you know, use a little bit of it. But just for an everyday stuff, and I just don't... I think it's part of the problem. I really, really do. Some people may disagree, but again, my grandmother, God rest her soul, 5 pounds of dirt by time they're 5 or they won't be right. Hey, MIT, Anonymity Network promises to be more secure than Tor. So, you know, as crucial as Tor's Anonymity Network can be, keeping your online activity private is not flawless over there. A motivated hacker can compromise legions of users. So MIT has developed an Anonymity network called Riffle that promises to maintain privacy so long as at least one server is safe. Now, it's going to be a while before this is going to be available, but they've been working on it pretty hard, and it's a good write-up on it on Engadget. So I'll have the link up in the show notes. Seagate today. So it's cutting 6,500 jobs globally, roughly 14% of its workforce, less than 2 weeks after announced a reduction of 1,600 positions. The company is one of the business makers of drive disk and has been suffering due to decreased demand for personal computers that uses its products. In addition, computer makers are adopting storage devices based on flash, SSD, rather than magnetic disk, in a shift that has affected Seagate and other drive makers. Seagate cited positive signs about its business Monday. The company announcement that included preliminary financial results for the fourth quarter said it expected to report revenue $2.65 billion compared to its prior estimates of $2.3 billion, and stock was up, but that does not stop the bleeding. YouTube stars who shilled for Warner Brothers screwed up, and now the FTC has written an angry letter to Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers was giving products and services and basically having them do reviews and had guidelines on how they were to talk about the Warner Brothers products in their YouTube pages. And they were being paid to do this, even though they barely told them to disclose this was a paid review. The way they formed their advertising campaign was such that it didn't bode well, and it didn't follow the FTC guidelines. So as part of the agreement, this settlement, and no one knows how much Warner Brothers had to pay, the FTC will require Warner Brothers to put stricter policies on its endorsement agreements and to provide reports to FTC on how it handles those policies and disclosures. So content creators out there, make sure you disclose your sponsors and when it's a paid review and you've been given product to give away. Hey, Solar Impulse has left Seville, Spain, and is headed for Cairo. 48 to 72 hours to get there. This is the next to the last leg before they fly to Europe, United Arab Emirates, to finish the around the world trip. So it is in the air, and they expect it to be ready to touch down in Egypt on Wednesday a.m. You can follow the progress of Solar Impulse at solarimpulse.com. If you have an Amazon Echo, Echo can now pair up with iDevices. So if you have any iDevice, which you've been forced to do everything through your phone, this is cool. And now through Amazon Echo, you can control over a lot of these iDevices via Echo. So exciting, exciting, exciting. Alexa's getting a lot smarter. All right, let's talk just a little bit about what happened in the world while I was gone. We had two shootings, I think it's two, by police officers that were caught on video. And I got to talking with folks at Podcast Movement, and I said, is it because we're all carrying cell phones in our pockets now that this stuff is being captured, whereas before it really never got outside of local news? And we kind of all had a tendency to agree to that. And then we talked about the, you know, the police officers and transportation people that were killed and injured in Dallas by this single shooter. And we're talking about that as well. And when I got back to Hawaii, and because I'd been really not watching the news, I heard about it, saw it on Facebook. I kind of, you know, got caught up a little bit, was on all the news sites reading about what had happened and transpired and what had happened in Dallas. And when I heard that they used a robot to detonate a pound of C4 in order to take this gunman out, I was just a little bit wowed by that. For the simple fact that if we think about military tactics, if you've got an active shooter or an active enemy combatant that you know is in a room, you know, let's say the guy, and you know, they're going to go in and clear the room, you know, common tactic is for the military guys to, you know, toss a grenade to you know, to either disable or kill the combatant in the room. So when they said that they used a pound of C4 on a robot to take the shooter out, that really, I mean, honestly, it set me back in my seat a little bit. Because I didn't think that they would go to that tactic. Now, there was a set of circumstances with this guy and what he said and what they found in his house while they're trying to negotiate him into surrendering and what he was saying and taunting and everything else. But it just set me back a lot. So, okay, so now we're using robots to stop attacks and criminals. And so I really don't know what to think about this because, and it gets real political real fast here, but, you know, essentially what they, you know, if the officers had approached him, obviously some more officers could have got shot and hurt, right? But they brought the robot in. Did they, and what's not clear to me is, did they give the gunman a chance to surrender, saying, hey, we've got explosives here, we're going to detonate this if you don't get on your face? Did they do that, or did they just roll up on him and blow it? You know, I really am curious to hear the tactic that they used on this and what opportunity they give him via the robot to surrender. Because they don't tell, at least I haven't read yet, how they implemented this. You know, obviously they were in negotiation with him, and maybe they, you know, they were already, he just basically said, I'm not surrendering, I'm taking you out if you come to get me. You know, a lot of times people will say that, but when they're faced with a weapon pointed at them, they, you know, they get on their hands and knees and, you know, put their face in the dirt. But I just thought it was pretty remarkable that they did, how they did this. And it's going to raise a lot of questions. One thing it should do, for sure, is make people in these types of situations understand that a gun's not coming to get you. A robot is, with either an explosive or some sort of a weapon. So, you know, what does this mean? Are we ending the robotics age where there's not going to be police robots? Makes you go, just a little bit, doesn't it? So, love to hear your thoughts. Geeknews@gmail.com. I got to make sure I stay on time here tonight, but there's a new game coming in August called No Man's Sky. And I'm really interested in this particular game. Again, I'm not a gamer, but it sounds really interesting because there's 18 quintillion planets to basically explore on this particular game. And so if anybody's ever played this before, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this particular game and what its objectives are. Hey, H1B, you know, one thing that I will say is when we were hunting for employees, for coders, we had a real tough time finding coders. And they're just such high demand. Computer science folks are. And sometimes the computer science candidates, they're coming out of some of the colleges here in the United States are not that good a quality. And if you're trying to sign someone that has, that, you know, basically can get up and running and you don't spend 2 years educating them, the ability to be able to hire someone outside of the United States could become very appealing, especially if you want them to work here. But, you know, there's a big negative right now on H-1B workers, and there's also a very limited number of H-1B visas that are given every year. I think there's 65,000 with like 25,000 of them going towards, I got an ant walking on me. Do I have ants on my table? Obviously I do. So there has been new legislation put forward that would try to limit H-1B hires in companies across the United States. I think what happens, though, is that big companies like Google and Disney and other companies like that that have significant number of IT workers, you know, they're trying to cut costs. Whereas, you know, me being a small company, cost is not what I'm cutting. I'm just trying to find qualified people in the city that we're have an office in. And I think that's where there needs to be some differences and looking for, you know, if I can't hire, and I've tried to hire a U.S. citizen coming out of college with a computer science degree, if I've tried really hard and have proof that I can, I think small companies should be given a little bit different benefit of the doubt than big companies. But I think the goal and the way the mood is, and probably what will happen at some point, is H-1B visas will be cut. And for the majority of companies that are abusing the visa process, it's probably a good thing. but I think, you know, I just wonder how many small companies are actually trying to get H-1B visa workers because they can't, are having a very hard time finding people qualified. And you know, and we pay fair market wage. It's not that we're paying a low market wage. We're paying a fair market wage. But coders in such high demand that now oftentimes they get a lot more money than a standard going rate. You know, if you're thinking hire someone at 65, they may actually cost you 85 just because, you know, there's not very many good qualified candidates. So I wonder what you guys think about the H-1B. And I know some of you have lost jobs to H-1B workers. So you have a very big issue with it. Believe me, I understand that. And if you live in Columbus, Ohio, and you're looking for work, I need your resume. If you're in IT or more programmer than IT. I need programmers more than anything. So anyway, that's enough on that. Hey, Sword. Sword's a new tool. And it's designed to allow users to test if a password they have for one site is also used on a variety of other websites. It's just a quick cross-check. And what they're finding in some of these tests are not good. A lot of people are using the same password on multiple sites, making them, and they haven't changed their passwords either in some of these 742 million leaked usernames and passwords that are out there. Now, one thing I'm always looking for, because I've got so many computers in this room, is I'm looking for high-speed computer fans with low noise. And Corsair's got a new one out that may live up to that reputation. So I'm going to be definitely picking up one of these and see how it does. It's expensive. It's about a $30 PC cooling fan. But they use some new techniques in order to essentially get it so that it's not rubbing on the brushes. It uses magnetics in a way to float the fan. But apparently this one does 2,400 RPM at 37 decibels. I don't know what how much air it actually moves. That's the more important thing for me, is the volume of air they're moving through a case. But this seems to be gotten some attention by some folks out there. So we'll definitely have that linked up in the show notes. And I'm going to be buying one. I'll give you some information on it at a later date. Okay, let me see, speed up here. Hey, Japanese messaging app Line has raised over $1.1 billion in IPO. They came at the high end. Shares priced at 3,300 yen each, or 3,284 per U.S. traded share money on the top of their predicted range. So congratulations to Line in their IPO. Also, Google's notifying users of 4,000 state-sponsored cyber attacks per month. A senior executive, Alphabet Incorporated's Google's unit, said on Monday that the company was notifying customers of 4,000 state-sponsored cyber attacks. Speaking at Fortune magazine tech conference in Aspen, Google senior vice president and Alphabet board member Diane Greene mentioned the figure while touting Google's security prowess. That's a lot. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. State-sponsored cyber attacks. Double authentication, folks. All right, this may be a sensitive topic to some of you, but I thought it would be good to go over. And if you're following my Facebook page, you will know what I thought about the Attorney General's announcement in the news about not prosecuting presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, basically allowing her to do what other folks have gone to jail for. And I gave a couple examples recently. A Navy sailor had mishandled classified and got, I believe, 11 years in prison for it. So, but what I find real interesting is that the polling says 56% of the folks, and this was a bipartisan polling number, were unhappy with the decision not to charge, where 35% approved of the decision. 57% are worried what happens if she becomes elected president. But what's more interesting, outcome of this issue challenged likelihood of supporting Clinton. So listen to this. Outcome of this issue changed likelihood of supporting Clinton. 58% made no difference. 28% said less likely. 10% said more likely. So I find it interesting that the majority of Americans disapprove the FBI's decision. But yet, people say it's not going to change their mind to vote for her. I think that's a pretty remarkable revelation. Now, it did fall a little bit on party lines. 9 in 10 Republicans disagree with the FBI's decision. Democrats obviously think very differently, but with less unanimity. About two-thirds approve of the decision not to charge Clinton and think the issue is unrelated to what she do as president, but 3 of 10 in Clinton's own party faithful think she should have been charged. Further, as noted, political independents side more Republicans on the issue, with roughly 6 in 10 saying the FBI was wrong and that the issue raises worries about Clinton as president. It's simple. Let's just be honest here. There's two classes of people. There's us and the politicians, the upper hierarchy politicians. There's the laws don't apply for the upper echelon. It's very, very obvious that the laws don't apply, because you have military people who've done some of the same exact things in mishandling classified that, I mean, are going to jail for a long, long, long time. And they all have the same exact training. Hillary Clinton got the same training as the airman coming into the military who's going to get a clearance, to get the same exact training on the handling and consequences of mishandling classified information. I'm thinking that she should have been charged. I don't care if she's running for president. What she did is obviously wrong. Now, some people are going to say, well, other people did it. It doesn't make it right either. But I bet you the next Secretary of State won't have a personal computer in their house. All right, Twitter's flip-flopping on issues of archiving deleted tweets by public verified figures. One of the stranger stories from the past year or so in the social media space was a saga of Politwops, the service that archives politicians and public officials' tweets that have since been deleted. Politwops had operated for a time before Twitter killed it off, claiming it violated its terms of service. Twitter also claimed that the reason it had ended Politweb's ability to operate was to protect the privacy of users. But Twitter suddenly allowed Politwops to make its return, saying, we need to make sure we are serving all these organizations, developers, in the best way, because that is what will make Twitter great. We need to listen, we need to learn, and we need to have this conversation with you. We want to start today. So they let the Politwop site go up. At the same time, PostGhost, who is doing the same thing, has now been shut down over the same terms of service issue. PostGhost was launched last week, kept copies of tweets sent by verified users with more than 10,000 followers in Twitter's letter posted to PostGhost. The company said that recording deleted tweets is a violation of the service terms. PostGhost agreed to comply and shut down, but in a lengthy response argued that such users are public figures that should have had their tweets recorded. But yet, Twitter let show their deleted tweets, but they don't allow these verified people that PostGhost was. So it's like two sets of rules, two separate groups once again. But in this case, at least we get to see the tweets that were deleted by politicians that they said maybe when did a oops, I shouldn't have posted that, and have reduced it. Now, Amazon's second annual Prime Day of sales are kicking off tomorrow. I'm not participating. It was a big scam last year. I felt that it was like a clearance sale. You really couldn't buy anything. I tried all day to buy stuff on the Amazon Prime Day and never was able to buy a single thing. It just, stuff was either went so fast or whatever. It was a proverbial loss of a waste of time. So if anyone actually does buy something of value tomorrow on Prime Day, please email me and let you know. Maybe you'll be one of the lucky ones to get a 2016 Samsung 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV for $549. I think they're going to sell three. Or you can get a Vizio soundbar for $199. I think they're selling 10. I'm exaggerating here. But that's what it feels like on their sale. I'm not doing it again, Amazon. Sorry. Hey, the SEC is probing Tesla for potential securities breach with autopilot fatality. We talked about on the last show, on May 7th, a 40-year-old driver who fatally collided with a semi-truck that drove across across the Florida highway ahead of a vehicle. Long story short, is what Tesla did is that happened, but they never told the stockholders. They had a stock sale on May 16th, but didn't alert investors until after the sale. The SEC think that looks a bit hinky, and they're going to investigate. So essentially, accident happens. They talk to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration about it on May 16th. But didn't alert its investors and till after the $2 billion stock sale. Oh, that happened on May 18th and 19th. So NHTSA knew on 16th. They held the stock sale 18th, 19th, and then they announced the death afterwards. They actually announced the death on June 30th. So see if they get in trouble, see if they get a fine. I bet they will. There's another Tesla crash blamed on the car's autopilot. So it's actually this third one. They had one car that was on the Pennsylvania tollway, flipped over, rolled around on its top because it hit the side rail or something, and another car hit an obstacle in the road, which tells me people are not looking out the window. They are, you know, they're doing something else, and so cars are getting away from them. So that's three accidents. Lucky only one death so far. But the car that hit something in the road got pretty tore up. Hey, very exciting stuff here. Segway's inventor, who was basically introduced a advanced prosthetic arm, they went on sale. And they're available for pre-order. I don't know what they're going to cost. But if they do everything they say they're going to do, it's going to be pretty impressive. They've tested on 100 amputees and used for over 10,000 hours. They did receive FDA approval. So what is this going to cost? They haven't said. I'm sure it's going to be very, very expensive looking at the, and I don't know if insurance are going to cover it or not, but this is what the arm looks like for those of you that are watching that they're going to sell. Hey, as a reminder, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. @geeknews is the Twitter address. geeknewscentral.com is the website. All right, and a little of weirdo news. A lot of mysterious booms happening, and it's baffling a California city. They don't know where these booms are coming from, but they started reporting them after the 4th of July. Could be someone doing some illegal fireworks. You guys hear about this massive Noah Ark replica? It's open to the public. This thing is massive. I don't know how much money that someone spent on this thing and the amount of wood that they used, but it's 510 feet long. And it cost over $100 million. So this is insane what they built. I mean, this guy, did he get the message that there's going to be a flood again? Because if he did, they're ready. This thing is massive. I got this article over at coasttocoast.com. But I'd kind of seen it on TV, but I thought it was, I didn't realize it was the real deal. Holy cow. So anyway, link is up in the show notes. You'll be able to check that out today after the show. What else? If you happen to go out by Area 51, you can see what you, on a video, what you might expect if you get close to the restricted line. let's call it Blackhawks and flying around and checking you out. And finally today, something that was really cool that NASA put out was Juno on its approach to Jupiter was able to video or capture the moon circling Jupiter. It is incredible. And get to see their moon. This is the first time. It's a time-lapse movie of Galilean satellites in motion about Jupiter. And it is really, really incredible. When you see this time-lapse video, you're absolutely going to be blown away. It's the first time we've ever been able to videotape and seeing the full motion of these satellite moons circling Jupiter. It's really awesome. That'll be my wrap up for the show. Let me go ahead and look and see if I've got anything in the show notes tonight that have come in that you guys have sent in. Let me look here. GNC comments. Today is, oh boy, we haven't done a show in a while. Maybe this one. Oh, I got an email from Henry talking about the filter. He says, and this was about Apple having a patent to be able to stop a video recorder from recording. iPhone from being, caused the camera to be blinded. He says, based on what I read of the Apple patent application, a simple infrared filter on the camera lens should disable the shutoff feature. And also he's glad my mom got a laugh about the self-driving car with the mother-in-law setting. So maybe I did read that before in a previous show. But that was the only comment that we'd had come in since the last show or close to the last show. So if you've got comments today, today's the day to send an email. I've definitely talked about some hot topic comments, hot topics. So would appreciate your feedback in any way you feel be worthy of. And of course, if you've got comments on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. At geeknews is where I'm at on Twitter. Of course, I'm on Facebook. So don't forget to go to facebook.com/geeknews. We're going to do a test today. If you're listening tomorrow, that's obviously a better time to go over there and check it out on your mobile phone. And we're going to be showing this Facebook Instant Articles and how it works. Don't click on the video because that isn't part of the test that we're doing. But you can look at episode number. Let me look here. Post number 1127 from GNC 1127. Just look at that article. Click on the link that would bring you back to the website in your mobile device on Facebook, the Facebook app on the Geek News page. If you're not following the Geek News page, facebook.com/geeknews, and then come over and take a look at it. Just a cool little feature. We like it specifically because, number one, it puts our player right on the top of the page. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this thing. I'm already long. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. Again, geeknews@gmail.com. We'll see you on Thursday. No plans to go anywhere anytime soon, so we should be here with you the rest of the month of July. Again, thank you for your support of GoDaddy in June. And man, big time thanks. It is definitely appreciated. All right, folks, everyone, we'll see you next time. Everyone, take care. Aloha.